the meeting to order. A reminder to turn off your cell phones, and this meeting is being video and audio recorded. 2.0, changes or approval to the agenda. If you would add 15.2, personnel matters, as an in-camera item. 15.2, in-camera. And are there any other changes or approval to the agenda? Any other changes or approval? If not, I so ask for a motion to accept. Moved by Councilor Amaro, seconded by Councilor Charlton. Amendment be approved. All those in favor, signify by raising your hand. Carried. Good morning, Queens County Transit. We have a presentation from past President Bill Smith. So Bill, are you by yourself at the table?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and Christine will give you any assistance if you need it. And Council has had your presentation, which they have read thoroughly through. So if you would just like to review it for us, it would be appreciated.
Thank you, Mayor Norman, councilors, and staff. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to come and update you on where we're at, what we're doing, and where we're going, I hope.
Sorry, I guess I'm going to sit down. I'm not familiar with this setup here, but
the picture that you see there is the van. This time last year, we were asking council to give us a special $25,000 grant to help with the down payment of the van. That van will be, it was ordered in late November, early December last year, and it was delivered only at the beginning of December, and then we had to wait for about 3 weeks for other authorities to give us the various licensing and everything, so it is finally on the road now. It's been a long haul to get there, but it's an absolutely beautiful vehicle. I'm very excited and very happy about it. I particularly really want to thank you all again for your $25,000 contribution, because it was, as you can see, I think worthwhile. The van actually will be outside around 9:30 after the presentation if there's a break and you want to go have a look at it firsthand to be able to see it. Our vision and our mission have not changed since we've started, and we are continuing to keep Queens connected, and we are servicing all residents of Queens County. Those are at least that we've been able to reach. Our board and has changed a little bit. We have some new additions from last year. We have Mike Metcalf, who's the treasurer, took over from myself. We have Kara Smith and Shelley Walker, I don't think, was on the list last year as well. And I've now occupied the new position as past chair. We are mature enough now as an organization, we've grown far enough along that we are now getting into a regular rotation of officers and directors. Our staff, Tammy LeBlanc is our manager still, and Kim Cunningham is a new dispatcher during this year since the last presentation. We have three paid drivers. David Dix is our head driver. Barry Anthony is a sort of a part-time paid driver. And Dave LeBlanc actually isn't on board yet. He will be getting his license and proper documentation within the next month. And then we have five active volunteer drivers. We definitely and desperately need a paid driver out in the New Caledonia area in particular. And we're going to ask your help in trying to find one for us. And most of the active volunteers are in the sort of North Queens area. Are certainly actively and always looking for active drivers as well. The difference between a paid driver and a volunteer driver is that the paid drivers are those drivers that are authorized to drive our vans and our vehicles, and they have the proper class driver's license. Volunteer drivers are drivers that are just like you and I, and we reimburse them for mileage driven when they take somebody from point A to point B. Those are our three vehicles that are there. Again, the new one is up on the top, and it's an 8-passenger vehicle. Technically, it can actually carry 13 passengers, but because of licensing requirements and restructuring and stuff that you have to do on an annual basis, we've determined that we will keep it at the limit of 8 passengers. The blue van on the right is a temporary van. It is a wheelchair accessible van as well. We were able to acquire it from King's Transit in the Valley. We got to a situation where our two wheelchair vehicles both gave out on us. One went actually to the scrap, believe it or not, which was that bad. And the other one we sold to an individual to convert into a camper, but he could make it, fix it up reasonably enough for himself to operate it. We couldn't, as a public transit, bring it up to scratch. The bottom van there, the 2018 Dodge Caravan, is a 5-passenger vehicle, and it is not wheelchair accessible. It was donated to us by the province at the start of our operation. Our overall accomplishments in the past 9 months, we recommitted to the Milton office. When we were here last time, we talked about, in fact, moving to the home care center on Main Street. And it became we determined that we actually couldn't, there wasn't enough room for us to carry on in that space. And we were concerned also about the security and the parking for the vehicles. So our landlord has very generously donated office space for us again for the next 12 months, free of charge. And he's actually built a new office for Tammy LeBlanc, our manager. She managed to wrap them around her little finger, I guess. So we purchased the interim use van from King's. We found out when we scrapped the second one that if we didn't have a wheelchair accessible van on the roads, we would have to give up all our provincial funding. So we had to scramble very quickly and buy this one. It had 350,000 kilometers on it, so it's not a keeper. It was just something to help us on an interim basis. And in fact, it was the only wheelchair accessible van we had operational from March to just last month. The rides, if you look at the total, there's 1,472 rides for the last 9 months. That is comparable to last year if you exclude the Nova Scotia Community College students who have been closed down, so they have not been accepting rides from us. So we're actually not doing too badly in that respect based on the COVID restrictions that we're facing. Seniors are up quite a bit, which is something you might expect, I guess, in these conditions. Our wheelchair rides are a little bit down, and I think that's a combination of two things. I think it's one, COVID, because you are finding people moving around a little less, and I think it was also because we actually had turned down requests for rides because of our lack of capacity last year, which we weren't expecting. Our food deliveries, this is going, picking up groceries for seniors and handicapped people and bringing them home for them are up very significantly, as you can see, to this year. And our medical is a little bit down from last year. Some of our success stories, Penny Lane, as an example, they have, I'm not sure what the reason is, but they've been unable to provide drivers for their residents or users of their services. And so they've asked us to transport the individuals for them. Special needs medical, we've had several requests to handle that. One particular one was a pregnant lady who had very specialized needs and couldn't afford actually to get to Bridgewater where she had to get those needs. And the success story there is that she apparently gave birth to a very healthy baby, so all's well for everybody. Medical appointments, something that's fairly new this year, is we're transporting on a regular basis 5 dialysis patients, which apparently were relying on the ambulance service prior to this. 384 wheelchairs in the last 12 months total, and we certainly are, I think, helping. We're assisting in social isolation for many people. Just a few comments, I'm sure you've read them all in your presentations. Kudos to us, it's exciting and nice to receive them. Janet Spicer wrote us to thank us very much for bringing her mother to the Remembrance Day ceremony in 2019. mother was a veteran, and she was very upset when she couldn't get there, and we filled in that hole for them. So our challenges over the last 12 months and ongoing, apart from COVID, of course, and physical distancing, which means that we can only bring one or two people in a vehicle instead of full seven or eight people. We were able to acquire that minivan on a short-term basis. It took us a long time, and it was an interesting experience. It took a long time to get that new van on the road. The developer and builder, I guess, of the van, it's a Dodge Promaster, but it was the frame and stuff was assembled either in, not sure whether it was in Texas or in Mexico, one or the other, and then ultimately transported up here last year. And they allowed us to order the vehicle without any down payment and without any financial commitment. So it was a major gift for us from those guys as well. And I guess the thinking was that if, well, we didn't take it, somebody else would, so it wasn't an issue in that respect. But it's a very flexible van, and if you get a chance to look at it, I hope you will. We can change the seating around, so it has one seat or two seats or 10 seats. Or, well, we're limited to the eight. It's very easy. It just takes a minute or two to take a seat out and store it somewhere, and then we could put in maybe two wheelchairs, and I think ultimately we could squeeze in three. North Queens, we're still experiencing a lack of participation from residents in the North of Queens area. And that's something that I gather isn't terribly unusual, but we have to spend more time exposing ourselves in that geographic area. And we are going to concentrate. That's going to be one of our major projects coming up this year. And many of us are going to sort of go out. And we're hoping that the counselors, in particular from North Queens, will work with us and give us some ideas and meet with us and do whatever is necessary. And again, some of it, I guess, is partially because of COVID, and so there's been less activity out there. It's just a... Medical, our challenge has been is that because of COVID and because of Halifax and the conditions that have been up there in the recent times, we've been having difficulty with our drivers, and that's not a criticism of the drivers at all. They're totally welcome to drive and participate whenever they want, whenever they can. They're not full-time salary people, but they're still reluctant to go up to Halifax. And that's, I don't know how you get around that. Again, drivers, ongoing search for paid drivers in North Queens in particular. The other thing I think that partly maybe helped to decrease some of the rides in the North Queens area is that when our first van broke down, we had to bring the second van that we did have stationed out there back here to Liverpool. And so suddenly there wasn't a van available or people could see and ride and use. But we do have a couple of very active volunteer drivers, which helps, but it doesn't work. Wheelchair requirement. And finally, and it's a the area that we're going to always face, and I don't know how we're going to get around it other than we're just going to have to raise more funds privately and outside, hopefully not have to go to Regional Queens to raise the funds, but it's the province and the way they do their funding. Their funding is based strictly on the linear roads in the county and the population. Unless you know something I don't. I don't think we're building any new roads particularly, and not increasing our population significantly. So that's going to keep us always tied down to the financial cap that they impose. So why continue to support Queens County? Well, I think we're addressing a real need for affordable door-to-door accessible transportation, a need that will continue to grow because of the aging population. We are certainly helping to contribute to the focus of the county, which is accessibility, which is something that I think that was newish from this time last year, and it's an area that I know the municipality is, or Queens is working very hard to improve accessibility, study it, see where it's needed, and whatever. We're helping people access important services and education and employment opportunities, which enables them to stay in Queens County. We are creating a vital community infrastructure, which is helping to reduce social isolation. We're seeing an increase in the need to support our seniors and our students. don't know whether we're gonna have that NSCC body to drive this fall. I guess no more than any of you do at this stage, but we were up to running, I think, 9 or 10 students. Some of them were access students, up to NSCC on a weekly, daily basis, and that was a very successful service. And a growing need to assist the disabled population, and you might have seen this slide. This was in our slide presentation last year, but we do have, Queens has the highest percentage of disabled people in the province. And many of the areas of disability do lead to a need for more mobility and more accessible vans. So what's next for Queens County Transit? Well, our next one is to replace that blue van that you saw earlier in the pictures. And we have actually ordered a van to replace it, and we have funds in the bank to do that. So we were able to raise through donations sufficient funds to cover up the $25,000, or the roughly the 25% funding. $4,000 of that, I have to admit, was left over from the $25,000 you gave us last year, and so we've used that to apply to the van. And any money that we get like that goes into a capital account, and we use that to finance the vehicles. We are going to concentrate on more outreach to increase the awareness and the ridership. Again, that's a little difficult under the COVID circumstances, but I am convinced that once we get that awareness out there of who we are, and there's an amazing number of people even in downtown Liverpool that don't know who Queens County Transit is yet, so it's an ongoing job that we're going to have to face. We are going to try, I think, and launch a countywide fundraising campaign this year. Again, timing is not good, but if we can do that and get sufficient capital built up, then that will make us feel a little easier. We're going to continue to develop and strengthen the board and the organization. We are going to be having a mini planning meeting shortly to evaluate where we've been and what we're doing and where we're going. We're going to continue to recruit volunteers and paid drivers, and we're going to continue developing partnerships with home care and the senior safety officer in the region of Queens, and developing new ones. Just a few financial highlights. The fare revenues, as you can see, they're down significantly from $26,875 to $11,061 for the first. Well, that's the right hand column is 9 months versus the 12, but that's not going to increase significantly. Over this past 9 months or so, we've been subsidizing fares very heavily. We've received some funds from like the Community Health Board. And some funds left over last year that were designated for subsidization. And a lot of them were just doing out of our own pocket. And that's, it was a decision we made because it's hard to, when you don't have a lot of money anyway, to run subsidized fares. But the people we assessed really needed it, number one. And it's something that, in fact, all of the transit authorities around the province, and there are 19 of them, I think there are 18 and a half ones in this formation. They've been also heavily subsidizing passengers for this past year. They just have to do it. People aren't working, they're not getting the income, and they're isolated. Our salaries are tracking to be where we budgeted them for, $45,000 for the first 9 months. Our stipend to volunteer drivers, which is what the reimbursement that we're giving to them for mileage that they're doing, is up considerably, as you can see, for the first 9 months. And the reason for that, again, is because those are all the subsidized fares that we're providing to the people that are picking up. I just put in that line vehicle repairs and maintenance because we budgeted this year for $7,500, knowing that we were going to get one new van. Our 9 months to date is only $2,300. That will go up depending on how well the blue van holds together. But in contrast, this time last year, for the full 12 months last year, we had spent $19,950 in repairs and maintenance. So that's what came with the ugly the old vehicles that we had. But they got us going. Our 3-year capital budget, again, for this year, the 84950 was the van that we now have, and will be parked outside shortly. The second one is the one that's been ordered. It's absolutely identical in all respects to the first van we have. And when we get fully operational again and get maybe another van, that van will be stationed, and we're hoping somewhere in Green, somewhere in North Queens. I'm not sure where it's going to be. We have committed, no, we haven't committed, we have asked the province, they do an annual ask or forecast as to what our vehicle requirements are, and we've asked the province to provide us with 2 minivans, and we don't know what they're going to be like. The ideal one that we want is just a miniature of the Dodge Promaster that we have right now, but we haven't made any decisions on that yet, and we're actually just starting the search. As much as I would like to hope, I don't think we're going to get 2 vans this year from the province, since we got 2 vans in this past year. And if we don't do that, I don't know what we do. Either we'll privately raise the money somehow, or we will put off asking for that second minivan in the following year. And then a year further out, we're forecasting we probably will need a new regular minivan, which is a non-accessible. The province will, at least in the current rules, the province currently funds 75% of an accessible van, and they will only fund 50% of a non-accessible van. Just some very highlights of the 3-year operating budget. The yellow line there shows the $26,000 that was in the budget for last year, and the 28 showing what we're projecting for the coming year. I'll address that in a minute. I'm very nervous about these numbers, to be honest, because this budget was struck, was developed and struck in July this past year, and that was before we knew that COVID was carrying on to the vengeance that it is right now. So to be absolutely totally honest, I have absolutely no idea what the numbers are going to look like for the 21-22 year. They're certainly not going to look like what they are now, because we already know that we're going to be behind the 8-ball. When I mentioned earlier, one of the challenges of the money, the CTAP funds, 65,879. That's the grant that we get from the provincial government, and that's the one that's frozen. It's based on the linear kilometers and population. So we're not going to ever, well, until they change that, we're not ever going to get anything better than that. Again, we were, I think, being realistic but optimistic maybe at the same time at our fair income projection of 57,000. The next year, but that's not going to happen, I don't think, now. Our donations, well, it's all going to be, I think, subject to change fairly significantly. But I think it's all going to be relative, so I'm not too sure what the effect is going to be on the bottom line, other than we probably are going to be, again, subsidizing some fares, at least as long as the cash lasts that we have. So the future of Queens County Transit. This van, the yellow ramp on in the middle of the van, is called an Easy Step, and I think we are the first transit organization in this province to have that feature. And you'll see in the next picture, it's an amazing vehicle, amazing ramp, and just makes access to that particular vehicle in and out so easy. It's just incredible. So again, we're carrying on an improved accessibility to all Queens. Our goal is to have vans based in Liverpool, Greenfield, and Caledonia, at least on an initial basis. Not sure whether there are other centers that need a van, but those seem to be the most practical one. The Caledonia area, of course, the difficulty with that is that there's no gas station. So it adds to your operating cost by having to bring your vehicle into Greenfield to fuel up. We're going to work with sharing with other organizations. VON has a wheelchair van, but sometimes we end up driving their patients or their people because they can't get drivers. So to me, it makes sense to try to work more closely with them. We are starting to approach them. They haven't been too terribly receptive up until now, and I'm not sure whether anything has changed. Queens Manor, of course, has their van, but it's private. And again, they've used our facilities sometimes to transport some of their people because, again, they haven't been able to get drivers. And we want to work more closely again. Well, not more closely. We are working closely with Queens Care Society and Queens Home Support. We want to be the pride of the region of Queens. So our ask is twofold this year. We are asking for an increase from $26,000 to $28,000 of the operating line item from Region of Queens. And we're asking for continued promotional support by the Region of Queens, and in particular by you, the councillors. Remember that the benefit is directly for your constituents. And of course, making Queens more attractive to as a place to live. I think it's very important to work with you or work with us, the councillors. And this year, I would love to see one or two or three of us getting together individually with you and your home constituencies for a coffee, bribe, I don't know what that's called. If we can, and just to talk, sit down and talk and see what ideas you have about needs in your particular communities for drivers, for riders, for you know, what we can do, where we can access, where we're falling down, if you think we're falling down, and anything that we can possibly do to work with you individually. There were one or two or three of us or more than many can jump in a car and drive down to or go up to wherever you are and meet with you and chew fat to figure out what's going on. So this picture here is the last picture, and it's interesting. That's the new van, and there's the easy access step that is been enabled. And the lady who is there in the picture, we used to have to physically help her into the van, almost push her in sometimes. It was a very uncomfortable position, and she was able to almost run up those stairs and get in. It was just so easy, and she was the first rider in that new van, and so it was very exciting and rewarding to see. And I think that's it. Any questions, please?
Thank you, Bill, and we will take a quick recess of about 5 minutes after the questions are concluded.
Thank you very much.
So councillors can have a look at your van.
Good.
Questions for Bill?
You said that your funding is based on the linear road miles. Does that only include provincial roads, or do they include private roads in that funding formula?
I would think that's provincial roads, but I honestly don't know the answer. I never even asked thought about that.
Okay, because I know, like, in my district of Greenfield, we have the Greater Mullica Lot Owners Association, where I live, has about 100 kilometers of roads that are all private.
Right.
But a lot of residents are moving in there now, and they're retired residents.
Yeah.
So I just wondered if it was something to take up with the province, maybe to increase funding to get them to include it, because they're not putting any roads in now, and they're depending on developers to put in private roads.
Yeah, that's true. Tammy, can you make a note of that? Because I'll forget by the time I leave this year. I appreciate that. That's a great idea.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'll probably get deflated and find their article with it, but
better to know.
Councillor Hawks.
And
Councillor Hawks is your North Queens
Caledonia
representative.
Ah, yes.
What kind of class license do you need to drive this, or if I can find somebody or something?
The paid drivers need a class 4.
Class 4.
And the volunteers just need a regular license. But the qualification for the a volunteer driver is that they do require $2 million in liability. And that has been a significant issue for some people in getting their insurance, because you know, you've had your car insurance for the last 20 years with the same company, but they won't give you the $2 million, and you don't want to change. There are some insurance agencies that will provide the $2 million, but some won't, and so that's created some issues there.
questions or comments? Counselor Charlton?
Are you able to transport children?
I don't know, Tammy, can you answer that? That's.
Yeah, I'll field that. We do have a policy on transporting children. If they are under 12, we need an adult to accompany with them. Over 12, we just need a parent's signature, guardian's signature. But yeah, especially if they're infants, you know, like if you have a car seat, for example, you need to be responsible for going with the car seat.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like, as a young mom and things like that, if I had a child in a car seat, are you able to transport them? Like, if they come with their car seat, and I mean, obviously, they're not going to be able to.
Yep.
Thing, a hole for them to be charging. But if the parent is with the child,
absolutely.
There's no
We've
issue.
Done it, yeah.
Okay.
We do it quite often, actually. There's one child we take to Halifax weekly for medical trips.
Okay.
It's just a little guy and his mom goes with him.
Okay, great, thank you.
Counselor Deputy Mayor Muse.
On the 3-year operating budget, I see that your salaries and driving stipends were $74,000, but they're going to $144,000. I just find that's an awful big increase, and I just wonder why.
74 to 144?
Yes.
Oh, well, that was based on the volumes that we were driving last year. We felt that we could achieve that. In the last 4 or 5 months, maybe not February, but the last 4 or 5 months of the previous fiscal year, we were running well over 500 people a month. And so those numbers were trending towards that kind of salary and driver's stipend. But it, yes, I mean, it looks crazy now. I think it will end up
almost double.
Crazy, yeah. But if you looked at that number to the previous year, I mean, it was well over double. So, you know, we were tracking towards that kind of a level, which was both impressive and exciting. And now it's scary.
I'll recognize Councillor Brown unless if someone else wishes to speak. Councillor Fancy?
Okay. Yeah, Bill, one thing I asked, I see here, when you talk about trying to get a paid driver in North Queens, it's been forever. We've been trying to get a paid driver out there. And you've got, I guess, a couple volunteer drivers out there. A couple things that come along with that. I'll ask a two-part question. One being that, why, if you don't have the ridership right now, wouldn't the volunteers work just as effectively rather than to get a more of a paid position, leaving a van out there and everything when you don't need it at this particular time? And secondly, is it the type of vehicle that the paid driver is driving that maybe an older person can't get, you know, if it's too low, they can't get their legs in the front seat or something, where your vans are set up to be able to accommodate anybody, right? Like a lot of older people can't get down low and get down in the front seat or in the back seat or whatever it may be. Is that a problem to it, or is not never been a problem, or to just can't get the people in the first place?
I think we can't get the people in the first place. It's kind of a chicken and egg situation, I think, Jack, without being smart about it. But when we first put our van out there, we were getting criticism because the van sat in the medical office parking lot and didn't move very often. People were saying, well, you know, we don't need a van out here, so, you know, obviously nobody's using the service. And then when we had to bring it back into town because we had lost the first one, people were saying, well, what's the sense? I mean, you guys don't have a van out here, so we can't use it. The access to the vehicles is a concern, and it's an area that we're looking at very, very closely with the new minivans. One new minivan that we're looking at that we really like costs the same as the big van that we have, but it also has the headroom and the easy access. And I totally agree with you. I can't even get in the back of one of our minivans. Hard, you know, it's very, very difficult, and it's not comfortable. But the other option for us going down the road, maybe, instead of maybe getting a new minivan 2 years from now, an inaccessible one, we get just use a car. Some of the other transit organizations, motor, a standard vehicle, and they're generally easier to get into. There's something about getting into a minivan that you've got to bend over and crouch and, you know. So I understand what you're saying, and I don't know the answer to that for sure, but other than, you know, it's kind of, you build it and they will come. I think that if we have a van out there stationed long enough, people are going to start getting used to it and going to start using it. And we're already getting a fair amount of traction in this new van that we've got. I've had many comments from people saying, wow, this means transit is really something. And they're, you know, they're looking at this gorgeous looking vehicles.
I just had, from what you, your answer to Councillor Hawks, with your volunteer drivers, do they drive in their own vehicles?
Yes, they do.
Okay. I just wasn't clear on that. I thought you had volunteer drivers driving the van.
No.
And I was wondering what the difference on the class of license. Okay. Thank you.
And when I talk about our paid drivers driving our vans, I mean, they're not full-time. We pay them on an hourly basis. And like Barry Anthony, he only drives once a week, probably.
Okay.
But the other, David Dix, is our primary driver. He's driving probably, I don't know, 15, 20 hours, 25 hours a week.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Fancy.
Okay, one more question, just I won't bother you anymore. But with events and things, like I know my sister was at Calvert, and there's been things like you've, I think there's been some things like you taking people to something like down in Chester or something, and some events you come on. How effective are they? And like I told you before, I'd love to see that somewhere along the way where we don't have, at this particular time, a swimming, you know, an indoor swimming that we could be able to set up, to be able to pick up people and take them over. And if, you know, if you get it working properly, it would be quite effective for people who don't want to drive, who could come here, get in the van, get out of Bridgewater, go swimming, and come back here and be on a regular basis. And that, you know, it's like all events and things. How effective do they work?
Well, I think the, again, we're fairly new at the game, but we ran several successful tours up to Halifax, to Dartmouth, to, I think one was to a winery, I'm not sure if there's some seniors out in the Caledonia area.
Yes.
And we ran a group of people over to Campville for some training last year. And we're totally available and open to do any of that.
Yeah.
And, but we're not in the business of organizing swimming meets or something like that. So there really has to be somebody that coordinates that. And I know that we've been working with Norman Murrell and the sports department. I'm trying to find out areas that we can participate more in. But I would expect somebody like Norm or somebody that, you know, to organize that and then say, you know, Queen's Transit, can you take us there and do it on a regular basis? And that's really no different than what we were doing with the students last year at Nova Scotia College. I mean, we were driving 6 to 8 to 10 students on a regular basis daily, back and forth every day. I know that, you know, something that's like a swimming meet would be really good if you could coordinate the timing. Because we could drive the students up, go to school, come back, pick up the swimmers, you know, and then so the van would maybe make three runs a day, three different trips a day instead of two.
I wasn't thinking so much of swimming meets, so it's like
older people wanted to get together and go over.
And they could do that on a regular basis, go over. They know the van's going to be there. If you get in the van, away they go.
Sure. I have to remind Chris about that. You know, where's the swimming pool? We've got a long history on that.
Are there any further questions? If not, before we take a quick break, you are indeed the Pride of Queens. You and your organization have worked very hard. I thank you on behalf of staff for your honesty about your budgeting, because it's very difficult during these times. I'm certain that our councillors will take you up on your offer to explore their constituencies and discuss with you. And I know Carl is very pro-community minded and is going to work his best. Tammy, did you happen to bring any of your promotional, those lovely promotional literature?
I did not, I apologize.
Okay, so Queens County Transit, for those who do not know, they're operating in the Esplanade next to the Sobeys. You'll always see their van parked there. And they have great promotional literature. They have very professionally made signage. asking for drivers and also discussing or promotion about what it is that they do. So I invite all of you to stop in. Tammy's door is always open. Very lovely offices. How fortunate you are to have such a generous landlord. And we will do our best, Bill, to meet your requests and further promotion of the service you provide.
Thank you.
So we're going to take a quick 5-minute recess, and we'll close this door. Okay. Point zero, tabling our petitions. Are there any petitions to table today? 5.0, public question comment session. I remind you, even though we know who you are, to please give your name and your civic address.
Leon Robertson.
That matter has yet to be discussed.
But I just wondered there, because we're going to be live streaming. And under EMO, the Memorandum of Understanding, for the operations that we set up around the county, which I think is very necessary when there is a, when there is a problem with the storm or what have you, and it's good to see that that's being developed, and I certainly suggest that council give it serious consideration.
Thank you. Any other public comments or questions? No. Approval of the minutes. 6.1, approval of the regular council minutes December 22nd. There was a motion to approve, a move by Councillor Brown, seconded by Deputy Mayor Muse, that the minutes be approved as presented. All those in favor, signify by raising your hand. Contrary. Dangerous unsightly remains void at this point in time, even though we know our staff person's very busy doing those. 8.0, economic development, takes us to 9.1, corporate services. There was, Kellyanne, if you would come to the front in case there's any questions. The information was in your packet about a piece of property that is owned by the Region of Queens. There is a recommendation that will make the recommendation first, and perhaps Councillor Gibney, since this is your district, you would make the recommendation prior to it.
Recommendation that the council Region of Queens municipality provide notice of lease termination to Albert and Tracy Young for lands owned by the Region of Queens municipality, located at 32 Wall Street, Liverpool, effective June 30th, 2021.
Seconded by Councillor Hawks. Kellyanne, is there any further information or would you like to support the information provided?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
32 Wall Street, Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia. PID number 7002-9517. Property owner, Region of Queens Municipality. Tenants, Tracy and Albert Young. Wall Street and Liverpool hosts three mobile homes. Presently, two lots are owned by the Region of Queens Municipality, lots number 30 and 32. While the lots are owned by the municipality, the mobile homes are privately owned. The municipality has lease agreements in place for the mobile homes. 32 Wolf Street is leased by Tracy and Albert Young. I have attached a copy of the lease for your perusal. The formal lease runs from April 1st to March 31st each year. This dangerous unsightly file came before our bylaw enforcement department's roster in May of 2019. My original site inspection findings revealed a vacant unit, high grass, and exterior issues with the mobile home that required attention in order to bring the property up to what is considered to be neighborhood standards. I've had several conversations with Mr. and Mrs. Young, but recently conversations via email. These on and off conversations revealed minimal compliance, however good intentions. I issued a formal order to comply to the lessees on June 9th, 2020 by way of personal delivery and property posting. Directives were issued in order to remedy the condition as per the Municipal Government Act, Province of Nova Scotia. The deadline for this order was Friday, July 31st, 2020. Follow-up site inspection was conducted by myself on Monday, August 3rd, whereby some work was conducted, however not completed. I can confirm that the grass was being mowed on a continual basis. Some exterior painting was conducted. The property was cleaned up of items strewn about and stored haphazardly. An extension to the original deadline was granted due to substantial rainfall at the time, Tuesday, October 20th, 2020. Tracy Young was duly advised that this would be the final deadline, as the time allotted was considered to be fair and the amount of work minimal. I made recommendation that the lease for 32 Wolf Street in Liverpool, Queens County, Nova Scotia be terminated with sufficient notice due to ongoing lack of general maintenance and unsightly matters before our office. Removal and or demolition of the mobile home to be completed upon termination of the lease at the tenant's expense.
Are there any?
Did she circulate pictures?
Yes,
yeah.
The pictures have been circulated prior to. Are there any questions?
I didn't see those.
Is it?
Of Kellyanne.
Sorry.
Councillor Fancy?
I think Kellyanne does a great job and gives us ample opportunity to correct what's there. She's given them lots of time, so it's not, I don't think there's anything in question there. Do we own more than just the two lots? You know, what do we own up there?
We own just the two lots.
Just the two
lots.
Two
of three, yes.
Any other questions before I ask for the Councillor Brown?
Has any of the work been done since you've given the order?
So as per the photographs,
yeah.
The last photographs taken of that property was November 23rd of 2020. My last visit to the, well, I was there yesterday,
yeah.
But December 22nd, I did a formal site inspection, and nothing has changed.
Okay.
Thank you.
I had, sorry, one follow-up with that. Are we recommending that the lease be terminated because of the unsightly premise, or because the lease states that they have to be the owner of the trailer that's on the lot? And have we determined whether they actually did transfer ownership?
Ownership?
Yes.
They're lessees.
Right, but they own the trailer.
They own the trailer.
Yeah. I'm just wondering where they had transferred it to their, gave the trailer to their son. That violates the lease agreement, and if that's
and
what
that would be a question for our CAO, but I'm
okay.
Assuming yes. But
it's really a secondary issue. The issue, really, at this point in time, is the unsightly nature and the understanding
okay.
that the property is currently vacant.
Right. Okay.
And so now it's the appropriate time to
deal
do
that.
With this issue.
Okay. I just wasn't clear which way we were going.
Any other questions or comments? So I'll ask for the question. All those in favor of the motion as presented, signify by raising your hand. Contrary? Passed. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
9.2, as you know, several meetings ago, there was a motion made that we will issue an RFP for a design for audio, video for this council chamber. Staff staff has prepared a discussion paper, and that is what this is. It's a discussion paper. It's not asking for a motion or a recommendation, simply discussion to give staff direction. And mainly based upon the layout, there are two proposals, and it allows also for a third, if council so wishes to come up with their own design. So this is a discussion on the future layout of the chamber. Any questions you should ask of Chris, because he's and more if you can't understand how this works or how the layout works. But the intent of today is to give direction so that the RFP can be issued based upon the council layout design. So the floor is open for discussion. Deputy Mayor Muse.
I look at this in the option two. I find it's about the best, but I always felt that when we have council meetings or any kind of meetings, that the people would be facing the person that is chairing the meeting, and I don't really see that in the way you have it in option two. Like the person chairing the meeting, you have to be able to see everybody else so that you can recognize when they want to talk, whatever. And I don't think that way it does show that.
Well, think about when you're sitting around a table playing cards. Like if you're sitting around it would be a large table. So if we had a large table, we all would be able to have eye contact with each other. I'm not sure of one person who stand up, Chris.
Just a brief comment that it is exactly that way, that when you're around the table, there's no head of the table anymore. Everybody's equal. They're all at the table the same. The chairperson could be today, the chairperson's up here, but if the mayor wishes to speak, she gives the chairperson to somebody else, which is kind of an awkward situation because that person is in your regular seat. Now, in this particular model, that doesn't play into it anymore because you give the chair to somebody else who's at the table. It's more of an inclusive model. It's more of what you would see in the indigenous community of meetings in circles. If you were to go into a private sector boardroom, they don't meet in a situation like this. They meet around a table. Everybody's equal. Everybody faces everybody. And so just as long as it's a circle, then there should be no reason why everybody cannot see everybody the whole time.
As what happened today, Deputy Muniz, if I turn the chair over to you, then you don't get physically up and sit up here. You're there. So it's about equality and this. Well, that's basically what it is. It's basically equality and the ease of discussion. Is that a hand up?
Yes.
Everyone puts their old heads up, and I have no idea.
Mayor, I was waiting for you to get through.
Okay.
Now, what is the cost to get into this? Is there a cost associated with this?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This evening on one of our meetings, we said the cost was going to be $12,000 before we could even spend up to $75,000 to $100,000.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, is that correct, or did I misunderstand something?
I'm not sure where the $12,000 came from, but essentially there's a couple different options. But the last option I suggested, because we don't know what we don't know exactly the details we want, and we don't have the technical specs, we would hire somebody potentially to go to design this system for us. So once we decide what the layout's going to be, then we would then go hire somebody and tell us what screens we need, what cables we need, how the internet connectivity, how the live stream would work, all those components, because every company sells a different product. And so we have to be able to be fair in our tendering process to go out and buy apples and apples. Because just to go out and ask one company, they're going to tell us what they sell, not
right.
necessarily what we need. So the initial discussion at the previous meeting was to hire somebody to design the system, tell us what we need, and then we would then go to tender.
Okay.
cost to that. It could be 8,000, could be 10,000, could be 12,000. Not sure what that number is.
Yeah, I'm not sure, like, if we're going to plan to do this, why can't the companies come in, tell us what they can do, and then we look at that, and there's no cost?
And if I may, Chairperson, that is another option, but we would have to have somebody who's an outside expert tell us what they're offering, as it makes sense. So if we don't have somebody in-house that we have an IT person, but his expertise is in audio, video, and all this stuff, although he's doing lots of research on it, we need somebody to be able to tell us, is the technology that company A providing us equivalent to the technology that company B is providing us, or is it a lesser quality? Is it compatible and all those types of things? Because we don't deal with it on a regular basis. We don't know those answers. We'd have to hire somebody to be our outside expert to do the help us do the evaluation. So there is still a cost to that.
But with the other regions, the other areas in the province, have they not got similar systems that we could check in to see what they have and what would be compatible for us?
They have, and our IT manager is actually doing that now.
Okay.
He's going through and looking at them all, and they're all over the map. You've got some in the South Shore that are Cadillacs, and you have some on the South Shore that are very basic.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to decide as a council, do we want to be at the Cadillac side? Do we want to be at the very basic side? Or is there a middle ground somewhere?
Okay.
And so, but we don't know what that looks like until we have somebody provide us with the professional advice to do that, because we don't have an internal audio, video, all the experts in all those different areas with all the technology, because it changes every year.
Thank you.
And we also have a motion that we're going to issue an RFP. So if council decided not to go that route, then we'd have to undo that motion, which would take further time. So we're following through on the motion made from a previous council meeting to issue an RFP to find what type of technology will get us through the future. So back to the question at hand, which design do council favor? We've heard about the benefit of round, Councillor Muse, Councillor Brown.
When I look at option two, oops, what's that? Okay, yeah, we're both bald, that's okay. In option two, it looks like we're moving the public section to this side. Is that my...
The public section would be over there.
Okay.
So they would have easy way in and out of the door.
Yeah.
And they're not walking through. So presently today, if they come in the front door, they're walking in front of staff, they're walking right by the presentation people, and they're going to the bathroom, they're going back and forth, and it's a disruption.
Okay, I just looked. I was trying to find the orientation for the way the room is laid out there.
Sure.
Just because I put the staff table where the staff table is now, just to figure my orientation.
The staff table would be up here.
Okay. And my other question was, I see in the recommendation that we've taken wireless mics out of the request. I'm not sure if the argument really holds water, that if one part goes down, it all goes down, because with any system, if one part goes down, it all goes down. But it gives us a lot more flexibility to if we have to rearrange the room at some other point, that we don't have to run new wires for everything. You know, if it's something we could look at in the RFP to see if it's a feasible thing to look at, I don't think we should take that off the table right off the bat.
We have done some preliminary checking with people. That's the argument that the others have used, because there is some compatibility problems.
Okay.
And if there is a problem in the system with it, it affects the whole system. So I'm not a tech person, so but that's the advice we got. All the ones we hear of that are getting set up, they're all hardwired in. This particular, regardless of which model, the recommendation would be it would be hardwired in. Because of the nature of the setup, it's not something where we can just all of a sudden take the tables like a community hall, move them all to the side of the room, and then use the room for something else. We're acknowledging in this report that once we set it up, it's going to be a council chamber. It's not going to be a community room. It's not going to be a facility room. It's not going to be a training room. It's going to be a council chamber. That's going to be its sole purpose.
So it won't have cubicles like this that... Okay.
Still seeking direction on the design. Councilor Romero?
I like option two. Option one, I noticed it seems like a lot of mixing of staff and public, and option two seems a lot less. So I'm under the presumption that you would come in this door and exit that one? Is that what the plans are?
If I may, the plan is that is the front entrance.
Yep.
That would right now it's being used some reason for an entrance and an exit. It shouldn't be. It needs to be made accessible, so you just push the bar as opposed to fighting with the door. So that would only be an exit.
Okay.
So everybody would come in and out of that door, other than if somebody needs to exit immediately, they could go out that door.
Okay.
But everybody would come in the front door.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Councilor Charlton?
So for option two, we're not looking at this the right way? Like, you should be turning this sideways?
Right.
Okay. So the presentation table really would be here, not here.
So if you were to orient it, probably what would happen is the table would start right here and go in a circle that way.
Yeah, I just remember looking at it like this didn't make sense, and that's why I think Councilor Graham thought that was on that side. So, but just so I just wanted clarification, if you look at it like that, that would be how.
Yeah. Or even as a simple, if you started here, this would be the front of the table, and it would be a circle like you have here now. So it would be very similar to what you have now, because it would be a circle as opposed to the way it's set up. The staff would be up here. They would just walk in out the staff door, no intermingling with the public, and the public can commit it out over there by themselves in the meeting.
I favor option two as well. I think the idea of being around a table where you can see everyone, this semicircle would be hard. You would always be turning, trying to look at your fellow counselors. So I like option.
Waiting for Councillors Gidney, Hawks, and Fancy. Councillor Hawks?
Yeah, I'm happy with option two.
Two?
Option two.
Two?
So whichever option we go to, we're going to have to, it's going to be all new desks, all new everything? Is this what we're rebuilding everything? Is that it?
What I would suggest, Madam Mayor, is if we were to do option two, we would get rid of everything that's in here. And you see the table that's over there where the staff sit? We would put a table like that in here, a round table.
Oh, I see.
You'd have like, which is like a boardroom table. You have like a council table, like a boardroom table in here. And that would be the end of it. All these desks and everything would all disappear. It would just be a wide open, large table.
And how would that work with COVID with the 6 feet?
They have to be distance.
So
but by the time we get to the point where this is all done, as I said previously, you're August, September at the earliest.
Right.
Hopefully what they're saying is everybody will be vaccinated by then that wants the vaccination. So by the time we get it finished, COVID should be an issue at this point in time.
I always like to be the devil's advocate. Why couldn't we just stay with these here? Situated around, use what we have, or at least just not to make a circle.
You could, they're bulky, they're inefficient. Trying to get them in a circle is very difficult, as you can see, as we have here now. We have to reduce the size of this and rebuild ones anyway, and so the cost to rebuild what we have here and do all that stuff is probably the same cost as just buying one new table.
Okay.
And it could be a large table.
Well, it's going to have to be a large table. It'll be in sections, though, if we need to section it off, but it'll be one large table that'll be situated in a circle with one separate piece for the presentation, like you see there. But I don't expect that, because it does cost thousands of dollars just to rejig what we have here now, because of the cost of wood material and labor to do that.
And going back to Councillor Brown's question, I just put, kind of reiterated saying, are we sure this is where we're going to be in the next 10 years? I guess that's the whole idea. When you spend $100,000 into something, you want to make sure this is where we're going to be, and we're going to put, we're doing this all for naught, or is it, you know, I guess we never know, so you have to just say we go forward with it.
Are you referring to the office space?
We've talked over the years about different places we could change and do and everything else. So, like next year what would be the flavor, so to speak, you know, when we go forward. So I guess, yes, if we're gonna stay here, I guess that's great, be the best number of options.
And so the building and the environment we have now is suitable for what we have.
Right.
Had to make a few changes to accommodate.
Right.
Some staffing changes and stuff, but I don't foresee us leaving this building anytime in the next 10 to 20 years. I think it suits our needs well.
Okay.
Unless council has a different viewpoint.
Okay.
Councilor Charlton?
I think in regards to option two, when you look at it as well, this, the way that it's designed now is so bulky, it takes up so much space, and and we haven't even talked about like accessibility.
Mm.
If one of us were to be in a wheelchair, I mean, this is not accessible in any
right.
way. So by doing this, it's really going to take out a lot of that bulk, I think, and make that accessible, which we need to move.
Very good observation. So I believe the direction is to do an RFP looking at option number two. Correct?
Yes.
Very good.
Okay, and the only, so we'll look at some different options. The only question I have at this point is all the new systems have screens on your desks. And is that your wish? Because the only other option is to put 4 or 5 screens throughout the room, large screens throughout the room, so that people can see from different locations. And so would you much rather have a small screen on your desk that you can see the presentation and see stuff? Or do you want to not have that and then have 4 or 5 large TVs throughout the room?
I have no problem with the screens on the desk. I mean, and you're going to have a couple televisions anyway, because you're going to need them for the
Well, there'd probably be one for the public.
That's right.
Other than that, and maybe one for the staff, or maybe a small tablet for the staff over there. But other than that, you'll get rid of all the TV screens. So the cost is probably going to be the same. The only question is going to be whether you want the little one at your desk that you can see and not have to try to look across the room at a screen. Because right now, this is the most inconvenient system, and it's very hard to see on that screen versus a computer screen. It's very clear in front of you. So
yeah.
It will just be like a little laptop and a screen in front of you all the time, which is, you just have to get used to that.
Which would be more great for presentations.
Great for presentations. But it'll also give you the ability, if you wanted to have your presentation online as opposed to paper, you could just pull it up on your screen at your desk and have your, like a tablet, straight in front of you.
Did I see another hand?
I had mine up, but my question was answered.
Questions on Councilor Charlton?
Where would the TV go for the public with this setup?
Probably based on it would hang from the ceiling right there, right where that wall is.
Right.
So if the public is back there,
yes,
the screen would be right there hanging down the ceiling.
Would that end up blocking them from seeing all of us?
Well, it'll be up high enough that they'll still have line of sight.
Okay.
At this level. It won't be way down here, it'll be up here to look up.
Councilor Gidney?
Now, can we take into consideration with this live stream?
I do believe
we'll build
that
all that into it, yes.
Okay.
It just gets more complicated and complex, but we'll come back with a proposal that includes all those features.
Yes.
And when those do come back, it might be possible to put some things off until, if you did it in the step building, or just spend it all at one time. Those are all be discussions at budget time. But first we have to get the price. First we have to know what it is we need to buy, and then we need to go to various companies sourcing pricing. So we're all good? Small screens on the desk for projection of presentations and other things. Circular table. All good to go?
Yep.